Welcome to Calcast, your creative international podcast.
Network News, episode 85. Welcome, GNN fans, to another episode of God Network News, the podcast that tells you what God's doing around the world. Not what CNN tells you, but what GNN tells you is going on in the world. If you're tired of listening to all of that crisis network news and you want to hear what God's doing, well, give us a listen. Greetings, God Network News fans, to another great episode where we're going to be listening to more stories by my friend Shefan. Shefan works in Africa, and he is telling a story about how God moved mightily amongst the Yao people, who are a Muslim people group in Mozambique. He was speaking about his friend who works with him as well in the same organization. Shefan shares the story about this brother and how he just believed God and did the possible and helped people and loved the unlovely. And people were just touched and gripped by this love, and they wanted to know, who is this God that you're speaking about? So sit back and relax and listen to this amazing story, how God reached the Yao people.
Here we are, God Network News fans, for another exciting story from Shefan, who is going to tell us a bit today about a movement that's happening amongst the Yao people, also of Mozambique, but I guess it's the northern part of Mozambique. And so this is really exciting in Africa, God moving by His Holy Spirit and using ordinary people to do extraordinary things. If they're just obedient to do the next thing God tells them to do, and even if it's a crazy thing, they're obedient and they see God come through in miraculous ways. Could you tell us about the story about the Yao, Shefan?
Yes, thanks, Calvin. Yes, the Yao people are one of the largest unreached people group in not only in Mozambique, but they stretch all the way up to Lake Malawi and then into the north of Mozambique. Wow. Malawi. Yeah. So Malawi, Mozambique, we drive in that area. You drive through villages upon villages where there is just nothing, no gospel witness.
Wow.
And this is because for a long time they have been considered by many churches as being very, very hard to reach. Mm. So you will find Anglican churches and Methodist churches in those communities, but they have different tribes, but not the Yao. Mm-hmm. Many of these denominations had given up on the Yao. Mm. So the story that I'm going to tell is the story of a young man and his wife who went to live amongst them. His name is Geraldo. Mm. He went to live in a village, and his training, part of his church planting training, requires that when you go into a village, you look for a man of peace. Mm. And he was looking around and was struggling to find, you know, who is the man of peace he could talk to. So he went to see the chief, but he was told that the chief was very, very sick. Mm. So still he insisted. He said, "Can I still see him? I want to ask for something." So the chief was brought out on a stretcher from his room where he was sleeping. And what it was this chief had a wound on his leg, which possibly was cancerous or something like that, but it was really bad. And Geraldo describes it as one of the worst things that he had ever set his eyes upon. The chief was convinced that it was sorcery. He said, it's witchcraft because I'm a chief. Someone wants to kill me using witchcraft. So Geraldo then said to him, listen, I'm trained as a nurse or a primary health care worker. I'm willing to come and just clean the wounds. He said, well, look at it. It's smelly. No one wants to do this work. My own sons have stopped coming. They don't even care for me.
Gosh.
So, you know, you don't belong here. You are not from my tribe. And why should you want to come and do this? And Geraldo said, well, just allow me if you can, because it's bad. If you leave it like this, you might end up losing your leg. So he's reluctantly, he said, yes. And Geraldo just committed himself to doing this on a daily basis, cleaning him. Not only cleaning his wound, but he would carry him into the bathroom and shower him. Something that he had no one to do.
If
his wife didn't do that, there was nobody else who could do it.
Wow.
One day when Geraldo came to do this little ministry, he found that the chief had about several men with him, about 10 or 15 men around him. Some of them were his counselors, his advisors. And after the traditional greetings and the politeness, just sitting there talking, the chief said, I called these men to tell them that I think you are the most amazing person I've ever seen or come across.
Wow.
You are not my son. You are not from my tribe. You are not from this region even. You come from quite a long way from here. But since you knew about my problem with my wound on my leg, you have not stopped coming here to look after me, even to the point of taking me into the shower, into the bathroom, to give me a bath. If you had not done that, I wouldn't be sitting here talking. You ask these men, they will tell you that I was spending most of the time in bed because I was very sick. Now I'm getting better. I'm getting outside. I'm talking. I'm discussing issues that need to be sorted out because of you. And then he said to the man, whatever message this young man has brought, we need to hear it. Because we think he is here for something more than just coming to clean my wounds. So, and then he says to Geraldo, I want you to feel free. You know, these are some of my counselors, my advisors. I want you to feel free to just share with us what brought you to our village. Why did you come here?
What an open door.
And this is the man of peace he was looking for. He had not even got to the stage to explain to him that I'm looking for a man of peace. This is why I've come here. The man of peace is telling him, I know you've got a message. You need to tell us why you've come here. And so that's the cue Geraldo was waiting for. He was able to explain that he had come with his family because he wanted to plant a church. He wanted to share about Jesus. He wanted to bring God's love into the village. He wanted to use healthcare as a way to minister to the needs, to the practical needs. But really, the motivation for that was that Jesus was the message of the gospel was brought to this village. And the chief said, he turned around, he looked at his council, and said, there's anyone who objects to that? Because, you know, as I said, the Yao were known to be very hard. But because they had heard this testimony from him about how loving a man Geraldo was, everybody nodded and said, yes, he's welcome. You know, we like people like him. If he can do this to you, we are sure that he's able to do the same thing to anyone in our village. So he's welcome to share our message.
That's great.
So that, again, was the birth of a church that has grown now to several people in the community who are
wonderful,
committed followers of Jesus because of Geraldo cleaning the wound of a chief.
And I've heard other stories about how it has just gone on and has grown to other churches and other places and things like that. And the foreign missionary, the Western missionary that had been there earlier had worked there, not seen a lot of, seen a little bit of fruit. But then when he came back, it seems like this and other things that God was doing has just created a massive movement now amongst his people.
Definitely. It's just spreading like a bushfire. And attracting so many people who are attracted to the good things that God is doing through the church into the community. It has had such a powerful impact.
I was just going to say that this is why the, you know, it's the good news.
Yes.
Right? It's good news. It's not bad news.
Yes.
Or you might start a little bit with the bad news. You know, you need a savior. But the good news comes, and the good news covers everything in society, not just our, you know, where we're going to spend eternity, but how we're living our lives now and depending on God and the blessings that end up coming to our people and to our community as a result of it. I just love how both this story and the previous one that we recorded with you has a lot to do with people using their skills in healthcare and combining that with faith in Christ and the love of God and an expectation too that God is going to transform your community and bring blessing.
Amongst these workers, Calvin, I've noticed that there is a real understanding and a conviction that they are the hands and feet of Jesus. That if Jesus were to be walking in these villages, he would be attracted to the sick and the dying and the poorly, and he would want to do something. So they use their training in primary health care as a tool to express that love of God, to express that the tangible love of Jesus, that it's not just words, there are actions that come with that, and those actions are powerful. There is also a conviction that quality of life matters here on earth.
Absolutely.
It's not just get saved and one day you'll go to heaven and all your sorrows will disappear. But that, you know, there is a real, the good news is that here on earth, his kingdom, God's kingdom can come through you. And there is an expectation based on the teaching of scripture that life can be improved, that there is a quality of life.
That's right.
That's why Jesus healed the sick.
That's
because
right.
it's important to be well in this life, to be able to serve him better with a healthy body.
Yeah.
So these men who are doing these things, that's, they understand that, and that's what they're bringing out. And it's such a massive contrast to the prevailing worldview where people are fatalistic. If something wrong, if something wrong with them, they just assume that they've been bewitched. This is it.
Or
I'm going to die.
Bad karma or sin
exactly,
or whatever.
Exactly.
That,
exactly. And so it's interesting to see how they're bringing a biblical worldview that says no. We can resist these things. We can bring change in this life, in the immediate, but you know, this means also in the afterlife there is joy forever. But here on earth, God also wants you to enjoy life. So there is answers to health issues. There is answers to poverty issues. There is answers to all kinds of problems that the scriptures present because God has made provision in Christ for all of those things.
That's right. You know, you remind me of, or this story reminds me of something that I heard a missionary when I was working in the Amazon say to me. He told me, Calvin, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care.
That's right.
And so once you are showing that you do care, you genuinely love them, you want to help them, then their hearts open up to the message that you want to share with them.
Yeah. And the whole model of the churches that they are planting, which are small churches that meet in homes, also convey the same message, the message you're mentioning now, that Christ comes to them where they live and loves them where they are.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, come to the building that is over there and that's where we will do things. No. Christ goes into their village, he walks amongst them, and in their context, in their situation, he loves them there and wants to bring change in their lives there.
Absolutely, that's
so,
right.
So, yes, there is...
You know, that's the full gospel. That's what we sometimes call the full gospel, you know, is oftentimes in the West, our Christianity has been, well, you go to church, you believe the Bible, you know, you believe these certain things and you're a Christian. But it's not always a lifestyle change. And I know as we've gone around the unreached world, and especially with Muslims, they want a faith that covers all aspects of life. They sort of think that Islam is that.
Yeah.
You know, that, oh, it gives us a way to live, or it gives us, you know.
That's right.
But I think also it's because people are looking for that. They don't just want something to believe. They want something to live out. And they want it to be real, something that each day that they are living like Christ, living that out. And when they see that, then they want to embrace it. They're hungry for that. They're hungry for life. And they don't see that necessarily in their particular religion or background or whatever. But when someone comes and lives that amongst them, and their motivation is really, you know, just to be there to help and to love people, then they want to hear what they have to say. They want to hear what motivates them to do this.
Yeah, definitely. That's true.
So that's exciting. Thank you so much for another awesome, you know, story about what God's doing in other places in Africa amongst the unreached peoples. And I'm sure our audience with God Network News is going to love this story. So thank you very much, Stefan, for sharing this with us.
Thank you for having me, Calvin.